Chapter 11. There are a number of links on the website under the title Power with Persecution or Comfort with Compromise. And I would encourage you to listen to those audio files when you get an opportunity. It's very important that all the faithful remnant understand the great falling away from the faith. We're living in the days of the great apostasy, living in the last days of the Antichrist war on the saints. And the good news is the King is coming, and he'll be here to rapture his saints on the last day at the last trump. But between now and then, we should all be about confirming the souls of the disciples and exhort one another to continue in the faith. And there's only one faith that ought to be called the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The tribulation, persecution, and suffering is part of the package. The gospel is not come to Jesus and have a happy life. No. Come and die to self and be resurrected to new life as a new creature in Christ Jesus. In discussing this with elders among the saints scattered abroad to know the major concerns of the church in the great apostasy, in which we all now do see, these were the top three things that became evident as I discussed the great problems in the great apostasy. First, the church does not fear God and keep his commandments. That is the first great problem right there. The church does not fear God and keep his commandments. And second, the church does not know and therefore does not believe the word of God. And third, the church has received and preaches another gospel and therefore cannot recognize the difference between the Holy Spirit of truth and counterfeit deceiving spirits. We do know that the statement that the church has received and preaches another gospel is provocative. However, it is the sad truth. To know how it happened is helpful that we may see more clearly through this strong delusion. It is a fact with the Scofield Reference Bible. That happened after the British East India Company put John Darby on their payroll. Darby was sent to America with the specific purpose of weakening the strong faith of American Christians by the Illuminati Satanist-controlled British East India Company. Darby was to hook up with an infamous lawyer by the name of C.I. Scofield to produce the Scofield Reference Bible and promote dispensational theology. Few realize that dispensational theology was not just the start of pre-trib la-la land, but in fact, it is another gospel. Galatians 1:8-9 warns us of another gospel. Dispensational theology is the best-selling gospel, and sadly, it is another gospel. Today's best-selling gospel will claim to deliver from the penalty of sin without requiring repentance and turning away from sins. Repentance is central to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is necessary to turn from self-will to do the will of God. Sister Joanne Pesek, I recall, is the first one I heard to express this truth so well by saying most who would call themselves Christians today seem to have received just enough of the gospel to become immune to it. The biblical or true gospel is not good news to the masses of churched people today. The theologians and honest men in the church business know this. The biblical or true gospel has not been the best-selling gospel for a long time now. The people in the church business know you must have a best-selling gospel because there are very few today who would be willing to give up their own way for anything. Jesus said in Revelation 3:14-16 of us in this Laodicean church age, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The best-selling gospel tries to make a way for those who do not wish to give up their own way and obey God. The best-selling gospel will permit people to live their own lives in all important areas such as finances and work and school and family and leisure time. God knows I repent, but I'm still sad whenever I do think of the thousands of four spiritual law tracts that I gave out before coming to know the truth about the best-selling gospel. There are problems with the best-selling gospel because Jesus said you must be born again. Today there are masses that need to be born again again. The true gospel says that you must die to self. Can anyone really be born again and make a new creature in Christ by receiving the best-selling gospel? And that's a good and serious and provocative question. I can't answer that. But it is a good question. And it is a provocative question. And it is a serious question. Sadly, very few really see what all happened with dispensational theology belief system. The resulting best-selling gospel has been pervasive through all of what is normally called the Christian church anywhere in the world. Whenever the scriptures speak of salvation, it's always repent and believe. Healing may be only believe, but salvation is always of necessity, repent and believe. The word Jesus preached is no different than John the Baptist or Paul or Moses. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance is always the foundation of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. If repentance is not overtly stated, it is in the context. In addition, the best-selling gospel uses the meaning of the word believe as head knowledge of the facts. If you'll check in Strong's for that word believe, it's from the Greek word pistuo, which means trusting or putting confidence in Christ instead of yourself. The reason the best-selling gospel could not be effectively preached before about 1918 is that the total dedication demanded by the four gospels had to be removed. It wasn't until the dispensational teaching of Darby, better known as dispensational theology, of the Scofield Reference Bible, relegated the discipline taught by the four gospels to an earlier dispensation. Darby and Scofield also taught that all miracles and spiritual gifts were done away. There's a tremendous problem in relegating everything before Cornelius as a dispensation of law. And after that, we now have this new dispensation of grace. The scriptures clearly teach that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified before God. But what sort of faith is that which would despise the royal law of God? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. All should plainly see that God's message of salvation has always been by grace, whether in the Old Testament or New Testament. And this is why the sacrifice system was set up. By the substitution sacrifice system, God could show mercy to repentant people. The difference between before and after Christ is that now, through identification in Christ's death, we receive power from the Holy Spirit to overcome the sins that we repented of previously. However, the first step of identification in the death of the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness remains the same. God cannot lie. May I say it again? God cannot lie. God does not change. God cannot lie and God does not change. Those are the immutable foundations of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are immutable foundations. Immutable means does not change. The substitution sacrifice system for God to show mercy to repentant people has not been changed. Rather, it's been fulfilled and made perfect. The perfect Lamb of God, Yeshua the Messiah, is both the sacrifice and the great high priest. Our personal responsibility and our personal identification of our sins requiring that greatest of all sacrifice is still essential. And we must still identify with the substitution sacrificial death of Messiah. Yes, our personal responsibility and our personal identification of our sins requiring that greatest of all sacrifice is still essential. We must still identify with that substitution sacrificial death of Messiah. This is done through repentance. That has not and does not change. It always was and is and will always be grace. The wages of sin is death. Death of the body of sinful flesh is still required and accomplished in Christ. The gospel for Jim, most simply put, is Jim dead, Christ alive. That's pretty simple. Jim dead, Christ alive. Yeshua must increase, and I must decrease. That's how John Baptist said it. He must increase, but I must decrease. Most churched people do not seem to understand the true meaning of basic essential words of the Word of God related to the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most today just do not seem to understand some basic essential words. There's so much confusion with the best-selling gospel. Most churched people today have their conscience seared by the best-selling gospel. And sadly, Yeshua said of the churches of this Laodicean church age, they do not know, and knowest not. And knowest not that thou art wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. Perversion version Bibles also contribute greatly to the confusion necessary to make the best-selling gospel sear so many consciences. The perversion version Bibles were put together by some of the greatest ministers of the devil of all time. Westcott and Hart are among the most notable. Today, talking with many so-called Christians, it's like talking with Jehovah Witnesses or Mormon cult members. 10 years ago, same words. Same words are used today as they were 10 years ago, but today there's a different understanding. Terms need to be defined. Today we need to define the true biblical meaning of the key foundational gospel terms. And those meanings must be according to their meaning as the apostle spoke them. The words related to salvation in the biblical gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ must be understood in the meaning and the context of the Holy Bible. The words of the gospel must be understood as they were recorded and preserved and purified 7 times by the Holy Ghost, according to the promise of God given in Psalms 12, 6, and 7. It's amazing how many people who claim to know there is only one holy God do not realize what is wrong with the very idea of more than one Holy Bible. This point is so important to the propagation of the best-selling gospel that we should see what perhaps the last honest scholar of biblical languages had to say about it, Dr. Frank Logsdon. Dr. Frank Logsdon paid a very great price to tell this truth that we should hear. He lost fame, his position, respect of his peers, worldly possessions. He lost a lot to tell this truth. What I'm going to read to you now is the confession of Dr. Frank Logsdon, who was the co-founder of the New American Standard Version Bible. Yes, he was the co-founder and chief editor of the New American Standard Version Bible. And that is one of the better of the modern version perversions. Dr. Logsdon says, "I must under God renounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I'm afraid that I'm in trouble with the Lord. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped interview some of the translators. I sat with the translator. I wrote the preface. I am in trouble. I cannot refute these arguments. It's wrong. Terribly wrong, and what am I going to do about it? When questions began to reach me at first, I was quite offended. I used to laugh with others. However, in attempting to answer, I began to sense that something was not right about the New American Standard Version. I can no longer ignore these criticisms that I'm hearing, and I can't refute them. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all this? Upon investigation, I wrote my very dear friend, Mr. Lockman, explaining that I was forced to renounce all attachment to the NASB. This product is grievous to my heart and helps to complicate matters in these already troublous times. I don't want anything to do with it. The finest leaders that we have today haven't gone into it, the new version's use of a corrupted Greek text, just as I hadn't gone into it. That's how easily one can be deceived. I'm going to talk to him, Dr. George Sweeting, president of Moody Bible Institute, about these things. You can say the authorized version, the KJV, is absolutely correct. How correct? 100% correct. I believe the Spirit of God led the translators of the authorized version. If you must stand against everyone else, stand. Dr. Frank Logsdon, the co-founder and chief editor of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Underlying the best-selling gospel is the totally wrong view of what Christ did for us on the cross and how we appropriate it. The atonement is how we are reconciled to God. To correct the key error of the best-selling gospel atonement, we have to go way back in history to the 10th or 11th century. And it's there where we see the clear reason for the Eastern and Western church split. For a while, the so-called Orthodox Church did stay Orthodox. Rome's great idea of the requirement of penance being required for atonement was the basis of the original split. The Eastern Orthodox openly and often violently split and resisted the Roman Catholic Church's apostasy. Up until that time, all Christians believed that the physical death of Christ as our sacrifice resulted in forgiveness of sins based on our identification with Christ's death. The problem with this is that most people do not want to enter by the narrow gate of total commitment. You will not have a best-selling gospel that way. In order to have a best-selling gospel, you have to find another easier way. A best-selling gospel will deliver from the penalty of sin without requiring one to repent and turn from one's sin that one might do the will of God. The theologians and any honest man in the church business know this. the biblical or true gospel is not good news to the masses. The best-selling gospel appeals to the masses because few, very few, will put off their old man who is a slave to sin, the flesh, the world, and its devils, and put on the new man in Christ through obedience. There are problems with the best-selling gospel because Jesus said you must be born again. The true gospel says you must die to self. Can anyone really be born again and be made a new creature in Christ by receiving the best-selling gospel? Brethren, only believe is a healing verse. It's not a salvation verse. Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. See, he's going to do some healing there. That was not about salvation. Whenever the scriptures speak of salvation, it's always repent and believe. The first word Jesus preached was no different than John the Baptist. Matthew 3:1-2, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Acts 20:21, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Repentance is always the foundation of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. If repentance is not overtly stated, it is stated in the context. In addition, the best-selling gospel uses the meaning of the word believe as head knowledge. What sort of faith would despise the royal law of God? And you hear this all the time. We're not under law, we're under grace. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Evangelists know the only thing the Holy Spirit uses to convince anyone of their need of a Savior is that royal law, those Ten Commandments. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But what sort of faith is it that despises the royal law of God? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We can plainly see that God's message of salvation has always been by grace, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. This is why the sacrifice system was set up. By the sacrifice system, God could show mercy to repentant people. The difference between the two systems is that now, through identification in Christ's resurrection, we receive power from the Holy Ghost to overcome the sins that we repented of previously. But the first step of identification in the death of the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness remains the same. God cannot lie. God does not change. Immutable means does not change. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things, things that do not change, by two immutable things, in that it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We are about the king's business. This is our duty. After we remember our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we look to that duty to our brethren. The king's business is the gospel of his kingdom. We do not pay the preacher to do that job for us and absolve us from the duty of doing the king's business. So we're free to do our own business. We must remember our first love and apply the gospel every day to me first. Then we reach out to this world on a collision course with judgment, with our gospel life example. We continue about the king's business, conforming ourselves to his image as preachers or truck drivers or salesmen or secretaries or students. That kingdom business of conforming to his image comes first. And then we do what the king leads to confirm the souls of the disciples and to exhort them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation. Yes, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The tribulation comes to most of us often in the form of offenses. You do not find those who have died to self taking offense, do you? It's hard to hurt a dead man, isn't it? Meek people do not retaliate when insulted. You cannot hurt a dead man. You cannot make any charge of any crime stick and bring the dead man to trial or even take him to task. If he is a dead man, you can take all of his stuff, his job, his house, his cars, even his friends and his families, and he does not even seem to care. The age of instant gratification has an instant and finished best-selling gospel. We live in an age of microwave meals and electronic mail sent around the world instantly, and every conceivable form of instant gratification. Speed has become one of the top three conditions by which we judge services and results in our equipment and our appliances. Computers have been improved from moving at the speed of a snail to that of a laser beam in just 20 years. It must be fast or we're not interested. We have fast answers, fast food, fast automobiles, fast internet connections, fast shipping by FedEx or UPS. Christians can get into serious trouble having such an attitude that if I can't have it now, or if it's not instant, then I'll do without it, or it's not that important, or I don't have time to wait for it. We're a society that is no longer interested in anything that takes time. We want fast express delivery, quick return on investments, instant relationships, instant personal growth. We've lost touch with the virtue of patience. And that will be eternally costly to this last generation of Christians. There's only about two things that God does in an instant. One, he forgives the repentant sinner. And two, he changes one's destiny from an eternity of fire to one in God's presence. Those two things God does instantly. All the other things, God will not be rushed. God is God. He can do things faster than anyone, but God is God. And because of that fact, God will do what God will do when God will do it. If any of us said, I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it. Have any of us said that since we've been baptized? God can say that. People who think they are God say that. Those who have truly died to self do not have that attitude. Some may say, well, by believing the gospel message, I received all that I needed from God when he forgave me and came to live in my heart. Well, if that's the way you feel, I'd still like to ask you some questions. Since that day that you came to God and found his grace evidenced in repentance, have you ever once had an unclean or cruel thought, lost your temper, even once, or been selfishly or uncontrollably angry just once? If you have, you need the gospel. Are you at perfect peace? Are you at perfect peace 24 hours every single day? If you're not, you need the gospel. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and walk in an uninterrupted flow of God's joy and love? If you do not, you need the gospel. Since that day, have you ever been in need of a touch from the Lord or a miracle? If you have, you need the gospel. Do you have even one destructive physical addiction or emotional hang-up? If you have, you need the gospel. Is the fruit of the Spirit thriving in your life toward others? If it's not, you need the gospel. Do you have a disciplined life that includes daily prayer, study, worship, and witness? If you do not have that, you need the gospel. Are you actively serving God in the body of Christ as well as his kingdom through unshakable faithfulness, generous giving, and specific spiritual gifts? If you're not, you need the gospel. Can you accurately discern, and do you from the heart obey the voice of God when he speaks to you about your life? If not, you need the gospel. Are you the same person alone or at home that you are in church? If not, you need the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The gospel message is for the unbeliever, to be sure. However, the gospel is merely the gateway through which we step into a new way of life. The gospel is a continuous message from heaven to the redeemed, communicating a thousand different corrections, exhortations, rebukes, and encouragements in the ways of God. It's our continual instruction on how and where we have yet fallen short of his glory and what to do about it if we will pay attention. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Your hearts hear the gospel. Your hearts hear the gospel message through the word and his called and faithful ministers. The true gospel is good news, the best of good news. We must consider the true gospel every day. If we will think about the true gospel and speak of the true gospel, and most importantly, the preaching of the cross, which is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God to live the true gospel. Those who have been overtaken in the best-selling gospel may come to realize it. We need to study the gospel. Earlier this week, I found myself in the flesh. Here I am, seeing more and more of God's miraculous, exceeding great, mighty power being manifest. And then I find myself flat in the flesh. I was humbled, embarrassed, devastated by my sin, and then I was awakened in the morning with a question. Will you receive the mercy of God? What a good question. Yes. And this one thing I will do. Forgetting the past, I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, the gospel is so simple and so profound. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you become as a child. Jesus Christ died for sinners. The time is fulfilled. God did provide himself a lamb. God says, repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Yes, I believe the gospel. I believe the good news. I do receive his mercy. Now I want to consider Jim is dead. That's the way I want to consider things now. Jim is dead. Christ is alive. Hallelujah. I am redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Repent and believe the gospel. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I do not have a license to sin. I've got the best reason there ever could be not to sin. Keeping his commandments is something that I want to do. I've got the best reason there ever could be to want to keep his commandments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. What an awesome God. What a great and awesome King. What a great and awesome God we serve.